What is good, everyone, and welcome back to the Nostalgia for Soldier podcast. My name is Taylor, aka Nostalgia. Joining me is As Told by Zoe. What's good, my guy?
What's up? I just realized I didn't put a background image today, but it's fine. Whatever. Too late.
You don't even want to do it real quick? You can't. Also, returning to the podcast is Kay Likes Everything.
Hello.
How are you doing today? Hello, I've missed you guys. I mean, I haven't missed you because I've seen you and I've spoken to you on the side, but I've missed being in the podcast. But thank you all for waiting for me. I'm back today with perseverance and strength because I hurt my back, but I was like, I have to record. I can't keep missing out.
And the rain kept you home.
Yes, I was like, oh my God, perfect. I wouldn't have wanted to leave my house today anyway.
Are you supposed to be at the Keys this week?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's tough.
That's been pushed back to July.
It's okay. I will become crispy in July. I can wait.
So, Kayla has missed. You were here for the hour. Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah, one. I'm mad about that one.
Our Ponyo one, I think, right? You were there for Ponyo either.
I wasn't there, and I'm not mad at it. However, comma, I do have things to say about the aerial portion.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And then obviously, you know, so you're back for this one. I was gonna say, do you have any like comments or things we can talk about before we get into the next one we're talking about right now? Do you have any comments about Howl's Moving Castle you want to bring up that you didn't get a chance to talk about, or any of the ones about Ponyo you didn't get a chance to talk about?
Okay, so for Howl's Moving Castle, I just want to say that is in my top three favorite Studio Ghibli movies ever, and it is one of the few anime movies that I prefer to watch in English, which, as you guys know, I'm very picky. So I think that that's a really big nod to how amazing the voice actors did in that movie. And also the scene where Hal slaps the oven changed me as a person. And when he says, "That's my girl," I was like, something's changed within me. Something is not the same. So absolutely beautiful movie. We love a whiny himbo. He's not that smart.
I don't think we do.
I do. The girls do. Many, many people do across the spectrum. So I think he's great. Off. And I know that you guys don't necessarily really like him, and that's fine, but his house is really cool. It's like based off of like a Baba Yaga house, and I just think that's like one of the coolest folklore.
Yeah, for sure.
I just think that that's such a cool, not even a villain, but I don't know, it's just a cool forest monster deity thing. That's all I have to say about that, because I would have needed to be there to yell the whole time. As for Ponyo, so I love the movie Ponyo. I think it's adorable. And I think it's definitely one of those Ghibli movies that are more of a kid movie than they are an adult movie. Mm-hmm. But the thing that it excels at, which is one of my favorite things, I forget the name, like the word for it, but I love when land has been taken over by water. There is a word for it that I can't remember. But I think that's one of the most beautiful, like haunting, enchanted things that happens. It happens in Iceland, like in this like giant
To Lake Fjord? Lanier.
I just think it's so beautiful, and I think it's so cool, and I wish I wasn't afraid of scuba diving, because then I would go and do these things myself. But like seeing a bench underwater, I'm like, oh, the bench is underwater. It's cooler than a bench out of water. So Ponyo captures me with that. Mm-hmm. And I also scream when I like a boy. So me and her be like this. Oh, and that skinny father, hot. Sickly, hot man. Also voiced by Neil.
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson. Thank you. I don't know names of actors. So he did great. And the mom is the most beautiful person in the whole wide world. So.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Thank you
very
much. His outfit slaps.
So, what, so gonna... you could. I'm about to throw this gun away.
Wait, you want to say something about the aerial comparison? Or...
Oh, okay, yes. So, can you guys talk a little bit more about that? Because just the fact that like she has red hair and that she left the sea for her love, I like. Yes, that's Ariel-esque in a way, but the thing about The Little Mermaid is that. Or I think something that you missed, and maybe I missed it when you guys were talking about it, but Triton and her mom both give her the blessing to be like, follow your heart, leave.
At the end, yeah.
At the end. And Ariel never had powers, so she just loses the ability to swim again until Little Mermaid 2 with Melody. But I don't think that Ponyo necessarily loses her powers. They've just shifted. They've become something else.
It's not a one for
I think I did mention something like that. Where
heavily inspired. Yeah, and on. I do think Ponyo having red hair is like on purpose. It's Miyazaki
you
being
think
like,
so?
Oh. It's like little. I like The Little Mermaid, and The Little Mermaid made me think of this movie. Like again, it's not a Japanese remake. It's
okay.
It's under the Disney umbrella too, kind of. So.
Yeah,
I could see that being
Oh, okay. So this one was like, so Spirited Away was released under Disney's Buena Vista
line
because it's more mature. This one was like I said in the podcast, all the commercials were like Walt Disney presents a
so
Studio
like
Ghibli
letting you know.
Film. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and I think for me, I think you to your point, Kayla, like that's kind of what I had said a little bit where. You know, obviously Ariel and Ponyo want to be on land with this human boy, right?
Yeah.
I'll say that like the consequences for Ponyo being on land and not having to give something up are a lot more dire
than
like
Ariel.
Or the situation in which Ponyo being on land is a lot more scary as opposed to Ariel just losing her voice in order to be on land. Like, like the Atlantis is not gonna die if she gets off if she gets out of the water, right?
Right.
That's where I thought like the comparison differs. But okay. I think like the bare bone structure of two red haired characters in the sea want to be with a boy that's on land. That's really
like what you had to say about I think it's Sasuke or Sosuke?
Sosuke.
Sosuke. I did like what you had to say about him, about like running away from like his responsibilities. Because you know what? Low-key, Eric too. Eric, you were supposed to be taking care of a nation and you were out at sea. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
And they both have black hair. Oh, comparison there. anyway, love that mom. Love the way that she drinks beer. I think she's super cool. And I love the way she yells at her husband in Morse code.
Hey.
Oh, okay. For sure.
on my Kayla bag, I thought Lisa was hot.
Lisa was hot.
That's what I'm saying.
The Goddess of the Sea was hot. Are you kidding me?
Goddess of the Sea is gorgeous.
Oh my god!
All her jewels and the way that all like the fit, like the way that she turns from the fish to a lady. Mm-hmm. That is what. That's what I aspire to be. I also want to be a fish that turns into a lady. she's gorgeous and just dripping in pearls and jewels, like. What an icon. The fact that that little skinny man bagged her. Every big woman loves a skinny man. It's crazy. Not me, though. Lord, send me a Jason Momoa type. Amen. But it was great. It's a very fun movie.
Yeah.
It's also one that I don't mind watching in English, which is crazy. So good for Baby Jonas and baby,
Tina Fey.
Yeah.
Baby Noah Cyrus.
Miley's sister.
Yeah, Baby Cyrus. So
yeah,
they all did good.
Yeah,
and
great.
I think good segue because another sibling pairing for Totoro.
Yes.
The Fanning sisters.
Yeah.
The Fanning. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. About
Dakota,
yeah, exactly.
Dakota and Elle.
Yeah. So let me introduce it real quick. So welcome, everyone, to part 5 of Miyazaki Magic. And today we're talking about My Neighbor Totoro. We're halfway through, roughly, I think.
Yeah, halfway.
Yeah.
That song, yeah.
That's crazy.
You know what's funny?
Iconic.
Before we get into anything, I said in my head, I wrote this in my notes too. I was like, I think you can tell the how much for kids a movie is going to be for Miyazaki, depending on how it opens. Because, like, Ponyo and, or like, Totoro have, like, this very theme songy soundtrack that kind of opens up things. I mean, Ponyo's supposed to end. But My Neighbor Totoro opens with, like, an anime OP of just, like, of May just, like, walking with the little, like, the little guys and stuff. I'm like, yeah, this is a G-rated movie if I've ever seen it.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, I think it works in its favor, though. I think, funny, and I don't know how I figured that, like, going back-to-back on G-rated movies for Miyazaki, but I guess we're just, it's
how this one's for the kids.
For sure. Zoe, since, I mean, Kayla didn't rewatch it with this time, but she has watched it several times, so I'm assuming.
Yeah, I own it. It's right over there.
Yeah. So me and Zoe have recently watched it as of like 8 hours ago.
Right before we turned on the cameras. I just finished.
It's like it's fresh in our minds. So I'll start with you, Zoe, as far as your overall thoughts on the movie, having rewatched it again. Because I remember you said last week that you didn't like it at first because you watched it in college.
Yeah.
As like, what, like a 19-year-old?
Yeah. I want to say either 9 or 10 years ago. And it's so funny. So things have changed.
God, Greg, 10 years ago. Oh! Yeah,
Welcome.
Sorry, go ahead.
I had like my own personal journey with this where like our friend Nat talks about it all the time, how she used to not like movies and then her frontal lobe grew in and now she loves opened. Movies. So I went on like a little kick where I saw Spirited Away for the first time in college and I was like, oh! And then I saw My Neighbor Totoro and I was like, this movie is nothing. Mm. And now watching it today, it's very much like this is, and I don't think this one is one-to-one. Like, I think Ponyo is Miyazaki being like, oh, Little Mermaid, little reference. This one, like, to me, is just more of a comparison where it's like, this is kind of like Japanese Winnie the Pooh. It's not Miyazaki trying to make Winnie the Pooh, but it has the same, like, you know, Christopher Robin goes in the woods and he finds his little, he's playing with his toys. Friends. And now it's May and what's her sister's name? Satsuki. They go into the woods and then they find the friendly spirits of the forest and only they can ever see them. So they're playing with them and they're going through this. And then obviously, like I said, now my frontal lobe has expanded. It is a, you know, coming of age story where, you know, these girls are dealing with their sick mom and, you know, their dad's always working. So they're trying to help out around the house. It's a very heartwarming film. And I don't know. I like it. I get why it's so popular in Japan because they love guys. They just love guys.
Just little guys.
If it's a little guy or a big guy, they like guys.
We're for it. Yeah.
I think I wrote that down. I said this movie is just cute little in parentheses and some big guys the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah. And then you see yourself in that little guy and you're like, I do resemble Cat Bus. When did that happen?
Cat Bus is nightmare fuel.
Cat Bus is so cool.
It's creepy.
What?
His face? That's a Cheshire Cat.
I want. Yeah, that is Cheshire Cat esque. That's the bus I'd want to pick me up at night. You know, it's like it's a man or the bear. I'm like man or Cat Bus. I'm picking Cat Bus.
So, Cat Bus is cool until I realize his windows are holes in his body.
I
don't like that at all. I don't like that at all.
they could really make him scary if they wanted to, like with the organs being the little things you pull on for the bus to stop. That'd be really cool. I'm sure someone has made that.
Has to.
But the main takeaway I got from this movie was is one of Miyazaki's earlier movies, but I think it's him testing out, like, instead of being like, you fucked up nature. It's like, nature's your friend. Let's all be nice to nature.
You respect nature and it respects you back. Yeah. You know, yeah. Treat you kindly.
Exactly, yeah, for sure. Exactly, exactly.
I guess for me, I think there is a type of comfort in stories that have very low stakes or no stakes at all.
Mm.
I think there's like a very, like it's a comforting feeling, like it's a movie or show, whatever, that you can kind of put on where you're not like having to guess about certain outcomes. You're not at the edge of your seat with adrenaline. You're just kind of having a good time watching the movie. And I think in that case, I really liked My Neighbor Totoro. But like I've said for 3 episodes now, Miyazaki has a very bad habit of hitting the plot button with 20 to 15 minutes left in the movie.
It's not that it's annoying,
but it's just like, it's just something that I've always, that I've just kind of noticed now watching these movies, where it's like, you have a movie in My Neighbor Totoro where it's very like warm and comforting, and there's some underlying like small tension with obviously like Satsuki and Mei having to deal with the fact that their mother is sick.
Yeah.
And moving into a new house with new surroundings and stuff like that, right? And like learning about the four spirits and coming into contact with them and, you know, saying having a great time with them. But with 20 minutes left, you have this situation where the mom gets more sick than she's supposed to be, and then Mei goes missing for like 10 of those 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you could have had this situation happen maybe at the midway point of the movie. And then maybe like Totoro and the four spirits find some way to help their mom heal up and get better, maybe, if that's what you wanted to do. But like, I just think it's, I don't know. It's just for me personally,
right?
I think hitting the plot button with 15 minutes left in the movie is kind of like insane to me.
Okay. I want to say something about that because I've been thinking about it ever since you first said it. So Miyazaki, he just wants you to vibe. He's just there and he's like, you're in this movie and I want you to get comfortable enough to where you're like, this is just me in a slice of life anime where I'm really comfortable and nothing's happening. But much like real life, I feel like he's mimicking what happens in a moment of panic in our real lives, where it's like, my life is just normal and I'm living it every day. With a capital whimsy, you know, capital W whimsy. and that's wonderful. And then something crazy happens and then you get over it and then that's it. And you go back to normal. I think of this like this one specific time that my family, we used to go to Fort Myers every year. And there was a water park that we would go to. We had been there 1 million times. And it was like we never had a problem. 1 year. The first like 2 hours we're there, everything's normal. And then Samuel disappears. Oh, like God. In 2 seconds, my mom can't find him. And she's like, shut the park down. I'm getting off a slide. I'm like, doodly doot doot. What's going on? Sam's missing. What do you mean? My dad goes to the front. He starts checking bags, thinking my brother had been like stuffed in somebody's bag. And then what happens? Samuel floats along the lazy river and he's like, hey guys. And we're like, we were shutting down the park looking for you. And then we got over it and we resumed our day. We ate a ham sandwich. Everything's fine. And I feel like Miyazaki does that. He's just like, you're living your life. Something crazy happens. You go back to living your life. And the fact that it happens in the last 15 minutes of the movie just shows you like how short these problems really are in hindsight, because at the end of the day, your life's going to keep living.
That's fair.
The problem's over.
I also think I get what Taylor's saying, but it's more obvious in other movies. Like it's much more obvious in Ponyo. And to me, it's much more obvious in Howl's Moving Castle. But in this one, I feel like it's much more of a buildup. It's like where Satsuki is basically raising Mei.
Mm-hmm.
And Mei keeps on having where it's not like outbursts. It's like she is 4 years old. She's a child.
She's a small child.
She's young.
She has
capital C child.
She has the outbursts where she forces Granny to take her to school. And Mei keeps her cool, and Satsuki keeps her cool, and it's like, okay, let's see what we can do. It's like she's always taking care of Mei because her dad's working and her mom's sick. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's like this buildup where finally Satsuki's like, I've had enough.
I'm done. Yeah.
You're a baby. Stop. And then this is what, like, I think it, like I said, just a theatrical cinematic buildup.
Yeah.
To yes. the climax. I feel like this yeah. one is yeah. more like what we learn in English. The fucking, here's the climax and here's the countdown. Yes.
Okay. Yes. I agree with you that this one isn't as 15 minutes of story yeah. until
I
the
think
end.
I think it made more sense. It flowed better.
Yes. But I still think that my point is valid. But what I will say.
No, I agree.
Yeah. You're right. I agree for sure.
Thank you. I will say that this movie, so this week, I don't know if you guys, we're on different sides of TikTok, but this week on TikTok, this like mom went viral because she has 11 kids and she was announcing her 12th to her children. And in this video, she like sings a little song, like trying to be like the Prince of Bel-Air, but then she sneaks in like 12 kids and the kids like sing along at first and then you can see the older ones in the back go 12. And then the younger ones are like, oh, mom, you're pregnant. And they're excited. And the older ones all kind of like stop because, and everyone's been commenting on this. That's why, you know, it's gone viral that this woman is basically selfish because her older kids are raising all the younger kids.
Think about and the oldest child. The like, oldest, that's insane.
The oldest child. And everyone's talking about her because she left, like she leaves the screen, like she walks off, she just goes and she walks off camera. And the other ones, like some of them walk into the house, the boy, the oldest boy there is like just like staring like dead fish eyed into the camera. And you just feel so much pain because you know when families are this big or when responsibilities shift in a home, when a child is raising other children, you don't get to be a kid. You have to be an yeah. adult. So tying that in, with this movie, it's very much that the older sister feels a responsibility to be like, well, I have to be brave and I have to be strong and I have to help my little sister out and this mm-hmm. is my job. But the whole movie's trying to teach her, like, you can still be a child. There's magic in the world. There's still whimsy. And it's doing that by letting her, like, it's escapism. The movie is about escapism. Like,
yeah, literally.
Like, detach from everything happening in your home. And just be a kid because you're still one. So yeah, I was just like, perfect that this, not perfect because that poor family, but crazy that this TikTok went viral around this being chosen.
Yeah. And I think it's a nice way to tie in this, like with this movie. Cause I really did. Mm-hmm. I did want to talk about the dynamic between Satsuki and Mei mm-hmm. as a sister pair. It's one of those things where you can definitely see, as people that are all three people that have siblings currently on this podcast, kind of seeing the dynamics of like how siblings operate, especially with like one that's yes. like significantly older than the other one. Mm-hmm. Although like me personally, I'm not sure about the age discrepancy between the other y'all's two siblings. Okay. So, cause me and my brother are 3 years apart. Okay, yeah. Zoe's 4 years apart.
Yeah.
It wasn't really like that. Where like, because you obviously when you first meet Satsuki and Mei, everything that Satsuki does, says at all, like when they're searching for the stairs in the house, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's not here. And Satsuki moves to the next one. And Mei comes in, looks through the hole again. It's not here. Like just doing literally doing literally everything that
yep.
Satsuki does. And it's because, I mean, obviously Mei's four. And then Satsuki is really shows you really early on that she's like the role model in that,
yeah,
in that family.
Yeah,
she's like the role model for Mei in that family, and so it kind of definitely hits harder when Satsuki essentially, in Mei's eyes, like betrays her, like
yeah,
being super mean and not wanting to like help mom and stuff like that. And then you see one of the scenes I thought was like the most like. As an older sibling, that hit the most was when Satsuki starts crying to Granny, mm-hmm. and Mei sees it, and so instead of like Mei going like, "Oh, Satsuki is just being mean," it's like, no, like Satsuki's also just as sad. She just doesn't want to show it in front of the person that she's supposed to be strong for.
Right.
So I thought that was like an interesting, their dynamic was
really,
really
sweet. And that's not just
her
sibling. It's also the adults. Because a lot of older siblings, when they feel like they have to take on these responsibilities or the like, oh, I'm being brave for mom, dad, grandma, they choose to not cry in front of them either. It's a lot of, of private moments. But I just realized we all have different sibling dynamics. So Andre, older brother, younger sister. Taylor, your older brother, same sex, younger brother. And I'm older sister, younger brother. And that turns out with three very different younger siblings, I feel.
For sure.
Because we all kind of not raised them, but we all kind of nurtured them very differently.
Yes.
So May and I'm not saying her name right. Say it for
Satsuki.
Me.
Satsuki.
Satsuki. I have some friends that are older sister, younger sister, and they are much closer like that. Like it's just a different dynamic entirely. And I was wondering, Taylor, if you and your younger brother had that closeness that they had, or you felt like you had to.
No, I think, well, you know, it's funny, like with me and Zach, it's like, it's funny. If my dad listens to this podcast, it'd be very funny him listening to me and Zach. We talk about me and Zach's dynamic. It's like, it's early on because it was a situation where I was definitely the more like introverted child. I mean, I'm still more reserved anyway. And Zach was the more like extroverted, outgoing child that would just kind of do whatever he wanted to do. Over the course of both of our lives, we became a lot more like, leveled out in terms of just our demeanors and stuff. And then a lot of stuff that he didn't really take that much from me. It was a situation was as we got older, like it's just one of those things where you kind of personalities kind of get shifted, and like the friend groups we're in are different, and how we view the world is a little bit different. But at the same time, it's always like we've always had like a very like not one where you could like look at both of us and be like, oh my God, they're super close. And they're like on the outside, like people in public won't necessarily look at me and Zach and be like, oh, they're super close, they're super. But like, you know, saying in like a more of like a spiritual, emotional way, like we're very close knitted. And so we like, you know, we used to talk each other a lot. He was definitely a lot more concerned about my well-being when I left for college and he was still in high school. Because like, when I got back home, because obviously like your personalities change when you go to high school, or like your demeanor and how you kind of like view stuff and how you speak changes. And so when I would come home from college and he would notice the shift, and it got awkward at first. But like I would say just as far as childhood is concerned, there was never a situation where like Zach was trying to copy me. It was always we were kind of our own people. And I would always like, you know, chip in and try to be the older brother to kind of help him out with certain things. But yeah, it's just like, I don't know. It's like a long-winded way of saying it wasn't like Satsuki and May, but it was very different. We are our own people, but we are definitely like very close emotionally, spiritually.
Love that.
Zoe?
I feel like we're both like.
You know, it's funny, like, as long as I've known you, I've never really, like, asked about your relationship with Mimi, honestly.
With Mia?
Mia, rather. My fault. Mia.
We're close. We're close. We hang out a lot.
Do you feel like she followed you around when you were little?
No.
No. Okay.
She doesn't listen to the podcast, so it's fine. She used to have a worse attitude problem.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like as we got older, we got closer, and now randomly we'll be like, you want to watch Smosh together, and we'll just chill in my room. Like, yeah,
that's beautiful.
It's chill.
Okay.
Yeah. as we both got older and changed and became who we are today, it's like when we got closer.
It's kind of like me and Zach. Yeah.
See, Sam and I have always been very close. Insane to say, but my mom said that when I was born and before Sam was born, I was a very serious child. I didn't like being picked up by anybody. I'd give him the
stink eye.
I'd only being picked up. That's very true. But I wasn't a big fan of people. I liked my family, and that was it. And when that's when my mom was really scared when Sam was going to be born. She's like, oh my God, she's going to hate her sibling. They're not going to get along. Da-da-da-da. And when I found out, I was like, oh, baby. And she said that like my personality did a full 360. I changed. And when Sam was really little, he was my duckling, people called him. Like, even when we went to church, like, he would just like follow me everywhere. Like, wherever I was, he was like two steps behind. And half of that is being raised by Cuban Colombian parents and being like, if you leave your sister, you're going to get taken and you can't do that. So you have to follow. But also part of that is the fact that like he just hung out everywhere. So when I feel like when he was little, it was very much that like, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to copy everything that you do because that's how I'm going to learn and like discover the world. And then once he got older and like had his own personality, I was like, duckling. And he's like, I'm a grown man. And then he started figuring things out on his own. And then I just kind of started following him and being like, oh, okay, I see how you do that. Anything with siblings, as you guys know, makes me emotional.
Yeah.
Especially as an older sibling.
I think,
yeah.
Mia didn't really follow me around too much because I played baseball, she danced. But in like the in small thing, because she's a dancer and like she doesn't really have too many nerdy friends.
Mm.
But she nerds out like some, like last year she watched all the X-Men movies. She's like, oh my God, X-Men are so cool. This and that. She liked D&D when, you know, she played a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And she would love to start playing, but none of her friends play.
Right.
So I feel like,
she can play with us.
In thinking about it, I tell her, but, you know, Mondays she can't. I think like a little bit of me rubbed off. She loves Disney. She gets, you know, hyper fixated on something, so she'll nerd out a bit. She'll play video games here and there. We're not super similar, but you know, she watches Smosh because of me.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that Sam and I are. Well, would you guys say that we're similar? I think we're very different, but we have
similarities. We're like
similarities, but we're not the same.
No.
We're very different human beings.
I think, and
he's very drawn.
I think also too, like I have the luxury of having met both of y'all siblings. Y'all have not met Zach before.
I've met
so
Zach.
But not in like the capacity.
Whole family.
Yeah,
bring
so
him
not
down.
In the capacity. Yeah, they do.
Zach,
yeah,
if you're listening, come down.
I've been trying to tell him, like, hey, if you want to come, like he's more than willing to.
Friendship.
He can. I don't know. It's I've never like not extended the invitation for him to come with me. So but yeah, I think it was cool seeing like that, like the Satsuki Mei situation, having, you know, saying being an older or sibling and then seeing situations like that where like you want to make sure that as the older sibling, you are the strong one, the tough one, the one that's not really gonna, you know, break in situations, the one that's always going to be the one to offer advice.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I'm saying, make sure that you are like leading a life to make sure that the one younger than you knows exactly how to like, you know, conduct themselves.
And that younger siblings end up teaching us something about ourselves.
Yes, for sure. Cause Zach is definitely somebody that I will like, I'll say something to, you know, it's funny, like, when it comes to like men in general, when like somebody will vent to them, they always provide solutions and not just actually listen to the venting session. The problem is that's where me and my brother kind of get into it, but like that's something that me and Zach do a lot, where if either of us are venting, the other one, instead of just listening, we just offer solutions to the problem.
Right. Fair.
I don't see a problem with that. Whoa.
Because sometimes all you want to do is be heard. But Sam and I do have something for that. We will say, do you want me to listen or do you need help?
I do the same.
And that's all you have to ask in the beginning. It is a great tool for every person out there, because anyone can use this. Just ask the person who's venting to you, do you want me to listen or you need help?
So I'm a good multitasker. So if someone just says, oh, I just need you to listen. I can listen, but I will continue say, my in your Fortnite head, you're making it. I will play Fortnite.
You do wait, because when I have come to you with issues, which it takes me a long time to do, you're like, she's coming to me with an issue. Everybody shut up. And then you'll like wait to the end and be like, well, and then I'll go, okay, now I'm ready. Now that I'm done venting.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't like interrupting people. But if you you don't want advice, I'm a continue this fort. I'm a get this dub.
I'm a play. I'm just gonna hear it about yeah for sure. okay, I do like going back to Totoro. I think one thing I want to talk about the four spirits in general, just like them in general. They are so cool. I think that I was trying to dig into like to see if Miyazaki was like doing some folklore-y stuff with how he was designing these characters, and I found nothing. So these are like original. Same. Characters for four spirits that he created. I think, you know, with Princess Mononoke, and even with like Ponyo, like the fact, like the whole like face, human face fish, whatever, is a folklore thing where if the Japanese people thought that if you saw a fish with a human face, that meant that a tsunami was coming in the near future. And I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe like they have some sort of like forest spirit in their like, you know, Shinto religion, or there's some kind of folklore thing. And I was like, nope, just Totoro and the dust sprites or soot sprites and the whatever those little like white pointy ear thingies are. Yeah. Like those are just original characters.
Bird feet.
Yes.
Yes.
I love the bird feet.
Yeah.
Do we ever get a name for those things?
Not that I can remember.
No.
And after seeing Cat Bus, like I was like, I don't think this is folklore at all. it's a bus.
Cat Bus.
The designs are so interesting because they're like a bunny, bear, cat thing. It's like Chowder before Chowder.
Yeah, it does kind of give Chowder.
Where he even says it in the show. He's like, what am I? A bear? A baby rabbit? A hippo?
Yeah.
But I think Totoro, I'll talk about Totoro as the main. Since he's the main guy.
Yeah.
Not a little guy, he's a big guy.
He's scary kind of.
And he's kind of scary actually.
I hate
like
his
if you
flat
really think
teeth.
About it.
I hate his voice, his roar.
Oh no, his roar is cool, but I remember like when I was younger I was just disturbed. I'm like, you're this giant thing. I feel like your teeth need to not be perfect like dentures. It gives like weird humanoid.
Yeah.
Like offsetting. I don't know. Something's wrong. I need it to kind of be like crinkly teeth, but it's like it's like old man dentures.
Yeah. Going into like children's stories, I think that Totoro a lot like and this just might just be because I've spent an entire school year with like 10-year-olds and younger. That, you know, the encounter with Mei and Totoro reminds me a lot of the book Where the Wild Things Are, where just like the presentation of Totoro as this like kind of scary looking thing. I mean, obviously he's like a softy, but like, you know what I'm saying? When he opens his mouth and he yawns and he like sneezes and like he has like the teeth are like weird, and like his presentation and his roar is very like scary. But Mei, being just like the innocent child that she is, she doesn't have like knowledge of fear, I guess. There's like a concept of fear, but just like has like this, like, I don't know. It's hard to explain with
her. It's the one thing that she isn't scared of, because the whole movie she's like, I'm not scared, but she is.
Yeah.
A little shiver.
And it's like the one thing she should be scared of, because it's like right in front of her, and she's not. It's a funny like juxtaposition.
For sure. And then like them being able to like Totoro interacting with them at different parts of the story. Like my favorite part is definitely the bus stop scene.
Where
Sasuke teaches him how to use an umbrella, and then he like gets fascinated with the hard raindrops hitting the umbrella, so he like causes a bunch of them to fall on top of him. And it's just like, I guess in a way Totoro's also behaving like a child, I guess, if that's the kind of message he was trying to get across, of like these, like it's like you said, escapism. I don't know which one of y'all said it, but like escapism and like a childhood imagination kind of where like it's
capital
still...
W whimsy. You have to incorporate it into your life or you will fade away. It's like, that's just when you're a kid, everything is so new to you that everything kind of has its own like little magic. But as you get older, you're like, everything's the same. Like you hear adults say this all the time. Like, oh, I wish I could have like a Christmas. Like I love seeing Christmas through like my kids' eyes because everything's so new and magical and wonderful for them. If you create these moments of like, oh, I want to splash in a puddle, or I'm going to do something that I wouldn't normally do as an adult, it kind of like feels a little whimsical. And yeah,
just, just romanticize your life. You know?
Romanticize your life. The hell out of your life. This is the cutest episode I think we've ever recorded of our siblings and loving your life. That's so cute.
You got to romanticize your life. After.
Yes.
Something that I really appreciate about this movie is their father. He's not the typical, oh, May, it must have been your imagination. You're just a little kid. He was like, she literally tells him, I'm not lying, Dad. And he goes, well, I believe you. Let's pray. And he like prays to the forest spirits. Like, it's nice that it's a parent. It's not feeding into like anything negative. It's just a little kid having fun. Even if he doesn't believe it, it's like, well, you know, she's not doing anything bad. So let me play along with her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Father of the year, high key. Cause he's just, you know, very much like even in the beginning where like is it Kanta? Is his name? Is it Kanta, the boy?
Kanta.
When Kanta like kind of mentions that the house is haunted or how like there's certain things kind of wrong with it or it looks a little abandoned. Mm-hmm. The father goes, well, you know, as a kid, I've always wanted to live in a haunted house. And I was like, okay, I could see that he's going to be that like jumping off point type of character where he's just going to be like, you know what? My kids are going to just love, are just going to have their imaginations and I'm just going to roll with it. Cause I think it's important for them to keep that imagination and not to shoot it down early.
That scene where they're taking the bath.
Yes. Which was insane, by the way.
I feel like it's an normal. It's an old Japanese thing, and they're trying to conserve water.
Fair. And I was just like, I just didn't think, I was like, a G-rated movie, did not think that was going to be something that would pop up in a G-rated movie.
It's G-rated for them.
Yeah.
You know, that's just normal.
For cultures.
Yeah,
for a cultural thing. Aspect, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Post-war, rural Japan, so like, but like that scene where he can see his girls are scared, so he starts laughing. And he's like, if we laugh, the ghost will leave. And he starts,
That's like my mom.
He's a nice dad.
He's a good dad.
It's like how my mom would try to comfort me during thunderstorms when I was a child. Where she would just be like just she wouldn't do stuff like that where she would like laugh really loud, but she would just like she would just tell me, like, you know, Taylor, like, you know, the Lord's doing his work right now. You gotta let him be. You can't be scared. And I was
like, what's that? Wait.
What is it? Who's the guy that I love on TikTok and Instagram
Tony Stanovici.
Yes.
Mom, it's raining when the sun's out. The devil's beating his wife. Why would he do that? Somebody help her.
Why do parents say these things? My God. Traumatizes.
Is she in trouble?
No, he made another one about like a thunderstorm, and his mom goes, "Well, the Lord can take us anytime we want." Yeah, and he's like, "Mom, please, no, I don't want to know." And she's like, "Lord, take me and my son."
Oh, that's funny.
No, my parents knew not to do that to me. I was already traumatized enough.
Yeah, my mom would either do that or she would say. She used to sing a song, like a hymn.
Amen.
That, like a gospel song that used to like during thunderstorms, they used to calm me down. I have to call her.
You have to tell her to sing it to you.
Sing it, yeah, because it was it's similar vein where it's like, you know, as a child, whether it's be like fear or just imagination in general, like you have to let them get their shit off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah,
get
yeah. Their shit off. Yeah.
And, you know, kind of play into the whimsy a little bit. That way it helps them be a lot more comfortable. Like I had to learn that when I was, you know, teaching these kids in 10 and younger. It's like, mm-hmm. sometimes you have to just let them get it off and like play into it. Like, yes, anding a 10-year-old is one of the funniest things I've ever done in my life.
Yep.
It's so much fun. Just yes, anding a 10-year-old about anything.
Yeah. Yes, but, and then throw a little "that's crazy" in there. And then, and then they're like, it is.
But, you know, and going back to the, you know, romanticize your life, child imagination, that's why none of the adults could see the forest spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was cool because, like, when Catbus is fucking
bussing,
zooming through the fucking the fields, and like they just don't notice him, they just think it's the wind, like a strong wind. Cool. I was like, oh man, that was cool. I thought that was really, really cool. That was fun. Oh man, take us right now, take us if you have to, take us right now.
Oh, he's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Anything else, you know, about this movie?
I think that the thing that we can take away from this movie is that it's made us reflect on our own lives and our own romanticizing of little everyday things, and I think that's really beautiful.
That's what I was saying in the beginning, where like I had my own personal journey where I was thinking to myself of like, oh wow, I really have changed in these years of like not even personal growth. It's just like how I view movies, and that could lead into like different aspects of my life. You know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I personally, as far as like a final review of this movie, I gave it, I think I gave it 3.5 out of 5. Cause I just think it's I think, you know, it boils down to like, it's a very good kids movie.
Yeah.
I think like there are just, you know, I'm not gonna be like, oh, like, you know, the movies nowadays or like, you know, back in the day it was, you know, but at the same time, like you can look at certain kids movies now and be like, just, you know, say as a kid, I don't think I would like this movie. I feel Minecraft. Like if I watched My Neighbor Totoro, right. If I watched My Neighbor Totoro as a 10, 11-year-old, even like like even younger than that, I would love this movie.
Yeah.
Mm.
Honestly, Catbus would scare the shit out of me, but I'd love this movie.
Y'all didn't watch enough Alice in Wonderland. That's not scary. Have you never seen Alice in Wonderland?
I have, but not when I was a kid. When I was older, I watched it when I was older. I think it's funny is like when I was, I can't remember how old I was when. How old were y'all when the first Kingdom Hearts game came out? Because
I don't know how old I am right now.
I was 4 because it came out the same year that my sister came out. That's how I like manage timelines.
Okay, that's
I always tell my sister, I've known you as long as I've known Kingdom Hearts.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's crazy. But I was saying, like, as a kid or whenever I watched Alice in Wonderland, it was because I saw my cousin, who's like my older sister. Like, I have two cousins that are practically my older sisters.
Mm-hmm.
They would play Kingdom Hearts, and it's like the first or second level you go to, honestly, I think, Alice. In the game. And I remember like wanting to know what that was. And I think that's how I ended up stumbling into watching Alice in Wonderland. I don't think I watched it as a kid. I was just like, oh, you're playing that? Like, what is that? Because I knew it was like Disney movies in a game. I was like, oh, you're going to play Disney movies to be in the Disney movies? That's all I really knew. I didn't know it was Alice in Wonderland was like a thing until then.
Yeah, I won't say that Alice in Wonderland didn't make me highly uncomfortable as a child, but I watched it.
I think the Cheshire Cat's supposed to be scary.
He is.
Yeah, he's like,
he is for sure
a bad guy, kind of.
No, he's not a bad guy. He's like a, what is it, like neutral, chaotic, something
chaotic
like that.
Chaotic neutral.
That's neutral. What he is. He's just like, I'm not going to hurt you, but it'd be funny if you chose to hurt yourself. And then I get to see how that, you know, that plays out.
Right. Like, oh, I mean, this could be this.
Or could be that.
Could be that. You never know.
It's he's that friend that you don't ask advice from because you're like, you're not gonna help me. You're just gonna watch me go to my own demise.
Provide like very vague advice that sounds good on the surface. Like, this could be a bad idea.
Yeah, it's like, you want me to text that man. You want to see how funny it'd be.
My God.
So yeah, I'm saying like cat. I feel like this is the fourth time we're mentioning cat bus on the podcast, but it just has to like it's a big part of the.
I want
to
touch his like, big paws.
I feel
his
like baby. I feel like there's a sequel about cat bus.
Is there?
He might show up in another one, but I don't know.
It's not Miyazaki. I don't know why.
Like cat bus is like. Hold on. I guess maybe we can look it up. Jamie, look up cat bus
movie. Not car bus.
I feel like... Oh, there is a spinoff. In 2002, it was May and the Kitten Bus when he's a Yiddle.
And May.
Oh. That's cute.
Cat Bus's short baby. Film. It's Cat Love Bus's that. Baby.
Cat Bus baby.
It never screened overseas publicly. It was at Cannes. It never came out.
I know things. I know facts.
May and the baby cat bus. Yes, yeah. That's cute. Cute. That's super cute.
So cat bus is a girl.
Yes.
Girl, because you're carrying people around. I get
it. Who's the father? Cat train? Maybe? I don't know.
Not train.
I don't know. Cat plane? Choo-choo. Who are you doing then?
Totoro.
That's crazy. Totoro is the father of Cat Bus?
Maybe.
Or cat baby Cat Bus?
Maybe.
I just love that his little eyes, or her little eyes light up. I just, it's just so cute. Yeah. I'd have one.
I think like, you said you'd have one?
Yeah, I had a perfect mode of transportation, to be fair. And see, maybe that's why I liked Cat Bus's face more, because Cat Bus has fangs. Like, it has animal mouth, mm-hmm. whereas Totoro has human mouth, and it's weird. Why are your teeth so distinct?
I think Totoro's supposed to be an amalgamation of things.
Well, he's all molar.
It's nothing else besides like just these teeth
it's
over
the,
here. No,
yeah, it's the
no
crazy,
canines, no
it's
a, nothing.
It's veneers. It's veneers. It's all the same tooth Totoro, all the way around.
Totoro has veneers?
I'm yes. Screaming. That's what it is. Because the little ones, the little mini Totoros have like the basic like anime bar, like it's all one tooth, but he has individual.
That's the title of this podcast crispy. Episode. Totoro has veneers.
Totoro has veneers. He paid for them. Some dentist messed him up, but anyway, this movie's good.
Yes, love the takeaway for sure. So sitting at a decent amount of time, what? Do y'all have any music recommendations or anything y'all want to bring up on this back end?
Just yellow diamonds look like pee-pee.
Wait, sorry. This just says, is Cat Bus a boy or a girl? And it says the Cat Bus is visibly male. Studio Ghibli didn't have any issues animating its testes.
I saw that, actually. I do remember. I think I saw Cat Bus fly through, right? And I go, I didn't really want to go back and rewind. And I go, did they just show his testes?
And
I didn't see that. I missed that.
I didn't see his testicles. But
I need to find that scene.
But I will also say, you mentioned earlier in the podcast that you were like, are all of these like creatures new and not made up, whatever. So apparently the Cat Bus draws inspiration from a Bake Neko or Neko Mata, which is a cat that becomes like a magical cat that becomes intrigued by an object and then takes on its attributes.
Oh,
so Cat Bus saw a bus and he's like, I like that. And turned into it. A Bake Neko.
Go back to Tony's on the beach. What if I could just be like, go from two.
That's it. And I love that for him.
Oh, for sure. Hit it one more time.
Yellow diamonds look like pee-pee. Hey, man. Clips. New clips.
Sorry for that. But
what is that?
it's a new song or a new album that's coming out soon by Clips, which is the brother duo of, you know, sibling duo of No Malice and Pusha T. They just released a song called
Ace Trumpets.
Ace Trumpets.
And it's so good.
It's very good, but the first line, when they showed a snippet before they dropped the whole song, the very first line of the song is "Yellow diamonds look like pee pee," and it was unfortunately it has gotten stuck in my head, and it's just something I just randomly will say out loud now.
It's a great
doing
verse.
The most mundane things.
It's replaced the Sinner soundtrack stim.
Oh yeah, no, it's replaced. Will You Go, Lassie Go, for sure.
There you go.
But, oh my god, like I was writing notes about something, and all of a sudden, just yellow diamonds look like people. I'm like, fuck, bro. Okay, thanks.
That's crazy.
Like, the whole verse is so good because the whole thing
is very good.
The whole verse rhymes with pee pee. Bitches fly from DC on my private to Waikiki. It's easy, like, dude. He's so good.
The rhyme scheme that Pusha T uses is like, and then his brother No Malice has a rhyme scheme the entire verse it goes so it's very, very cool, and like they definitely kind of go back and forth, and it's
musical,
it's cool.
Chairs Fred Astaire these GTs, it's so good.
I thought you were gonna tell me that his sounds would be ooh ooh like poo poo. Since it's
pee
pee,
that is very funny. Could you imagine?
Poo pee 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 poo poo.
I'm the shit. I'm the poo poo.
Oh my god!
Crazy.
Oh my god.
Wow.
But yeah, I'm hyped for clips.
I'll also try with that.
Their last album the mid-2000s. Pusha T had a great solo career, but now he's back with his brother.
Mm. Yeah,
and Pharrell. I'm almost positive Pharrell is producing
Pharrell.
It again.
I think he's on that. I think he's producing the song Ace Trumpets for sure. But that's very funny. For me, I sent this to Yuzo because I saw like a snippet on Instagram and was like, this guy is amazing. I'm just gonna download all of his discography.
Yeah,
his name is the artist name is 54 Ultra, and not off on a personal insert podcast here title bias, but he's a very good artist. He's more like a soul, like early, like, you know, like a R&B soul type of artist. And all of his EP First Works is very, very, very
his
good.
EP.
The song, I think, listen to Upside Down, and I'm gonna butcher this because I don't speak Spanish. No Tengo Valor.
You got it.
Did I get it?
No Tengo Valor.
Okay, so we're good. It. Yeah, so he's we're good. We're good.
Yeah.
The Duolingo is paying off. You know, no, I'm playing.
No, we can't support Duolingo anymore.
I know we can't. We can't do that anymore.
Bye bye to the bird.
Bye. They gotta get out of here. and then another soul artist is Duran Jones and the Incantations. Duran Jones, the Indications, not Incantations.
Oh,
Indications.
I was like, man, that's cool. Now I don't think it's cool anymore.
Yeah.
Whatever. Tell them to change
their name. I know. They have an album coming out called Flowers, and then they have like two songs called Been So Long and Flower Moon that are super cool. They're both soul, R&B soul tracks. So I think everybody should go check those out. Kayla, do you have any music recommendations or like some random thing you want to bring up before we sign off?
No, I'm really into blind boxes lately. That's all I have. And I've almost collected, I'm into my Labubus, but I'm also into this one called like Friends. And I have almost all the little characters from Line. Like, you know, like on like WhatsApp, you can get those like stickers that have like a bunny, a bear, a little ducky. I'm only missing the bear and the special. And that is my journey in my life recently. I got to go back to the store and get
it. You should unbox some on the pod.
That'd I should. Cool. I'll get some for next time, and I will unbox on the pod.
Question, though. We have enough time. We have plenty of time. What? Because there's a fourth grade girl that brought hers in last week of school.
Sure.
Her Labubu.
I love them.
What is the deal with the Labubu? What is that?
So I have, I have the plush, and then I also have one from Japan that my coworker brought for me that I love. That's like a hard one, like an actual figurine. Yeah. So Labubu comes with like two names. They're called like Labubu or the Monsters. And this artist created a whole little world of like all these little monsters, and their names are like Gigi, Fifi, which always reminds me of the Tiki. No, it reminds me of the Tiki Room. When they call like all the birds, like all the girl birds, it's like wee wee, Fifi, Gigi. Stop before, because I see your mouth. I see it. But they're all just so cute, and they have these like just like little jagged little teeth. And in the beginning, I thought they were very ugly, and then I kept looking at them, and I'm like, "Well, you're not kind of ugly."
That's kind of the charm, though.
And yeah, exactly. Like it just
they are ugly.
No, they're beautiful,
but in a good, but in a cute way. Yeah,
they're ugly in a cute way for sure.
They have like human hands.
Look
and
feet. At him. He's that's cute. Weird.
That's just a My Neighbor Totoro force beard.
Exactly. Exactly. This is the yoga one, which I need to be doing to help out this bat.
Ugly in a cute way. It's not ugly in an ugly way.
Yeah, and I love things that are ugly in a cute way. So
we're like 5 years old. Pee pee is so funny to me. I can't even. That was so funny.
Yeah. So blind boxes are just big now. And
they are.
Shout out Vanilla Mace. She's so funny.
Oh, the one you told me about.
Oh, yes.
And she has gotten huge, so big for like unboxing like blind boxes that Pop Mart sent her like a bunch.
I love that.
Of blind boxes. She's hilarious. I have no interest in blind boxes. I see them and I'm like, there's no way in hell that I'm going to spend so much money trying to collect these things. But like, just her reactions to everything is so funny, and she's like, she is her own arbiter of doom.
She like, does she have short brown hair?
She has super short hair.
Like curly brown hair.
Yes.
I've seen her on TikTok, and I understand. She's hilarious.
She will say something like, "I don't want this one. This one's ugly," and then we'll pull that one.
Yes,
like all the time. She's hilarious. She's so funny.
Yeah. I think so. Before, I didn't used to like blind boxes. I wasn't into that because blind boxes have been around forever. But then Disney started doing mystery pin boxes, and I was like, you got me. And the one that really got me was there was this one that came out for the year of the the Chinese year of like the monkey or the dragon. I think it was year of the dragon.
The monkey!
And it was a Chinese coin that was like red. And then it had like the center was missing, so you had to connect all the pieces together to make the coin. And each of the pieces was a year, and it was a different Disney animal. The amount
of
Mushus that I got that year were driving me crazy, and I needed like Rabbit from Winnie the Pooh. Like I needed him to complete the set, and I couldn't find him anywhere. The day that I did, I'll never forget. It was under the Epcot ball on a trash can. And I was like, guys, please. And it came two to a pack. And I pulled out a Mushu and I was like, it's over. It's so Jover. It's never been more Jover. And then I pulled out Rabbit and I ran. They were my friend Lizzie was recording me and I was like, ah! And I was so happy. So the adrenaline helps with the loss of money. Yeah.
It's like gambling.
It is.
It's literally gambling.
At least with Disney, you can trade the ones you get duplicates of. So it works out. But with Labubus, you can either trade them like in the store that you get them from, because sometimes they'll have like a little section where it's like these are opened ones.
Yeah, but that ruins the fun.
Yeah, no, I just want to get them.
You do
Although
it for
I
the
did...
love of the game, bro. You get I a did... duplicate, you keep that shit.
Ah, sometimes you have to trade.
For the love
I
of
did,
the game.
I did get a duplicate bunny that I wanted. I'll just get them real quick because they're so cute.
Yeah, be careful.
Speaking of Disney, they jumped on this trend quick because now they have Stitch Labubus.
I'm back. Okay, so this is the first one I got, and is she so cute? Okay, so I got her, and then I got her again, but the lady had one in the store, and then I was able to get it for the little duck. I keep calling it a chicken, but it's a little duck. And then this is the one I really wanted. He's a flawed. So cute. So I just need the bear, and then I'm
How
completed.
Much did those cost?
That's crazy. What?
How much is one of these guys?
Who's calling me?
No, for real, like
they're $20. It's $20.
$20 each, man. You see, yeah. this is why I can't. And there are blind boxes.
But I love them.
You do it. You. I'm talking about me. We're talking about me now. You know, if you spend your money on this, who cares? You know, do your thing. I fucking spent $80 on a video game.
I thought it would have been more expensive, honestly.
Some people mark up Labubus to like $50.
Yes. And I always tell people, I'm like, make sure that when you go and buy something that you're getting a Labubu and not a Lafufu, because that's what you call a knockoff Labubu. And I may have a Lafufu in my mix, but they look real good. There are other ones and I'm like, where did you get
that face? If the face is soft, it's a Lafufu.
Yeah, but also but like, sometimes they're like eyeballs are off.
Oh, that's funny.
It's like a whole thing.
It makes them uglier.
It does. But it's an addiction. Or if they don't have their little like grubby little hands and feet, and they just have like plush hands and feet, that's how you can also tell.
Mm.
I think it's genuinely. For adults, it's different, right? But I think for kids, this is like a. What's it called? A silly bands phase, you know.
And I'm like they're always gonna get me.
I can kind of see it. I think
it's an accessory. It shows people that you're fun.
I think for adults it's different. I think for adults it's different. Where like if this big phase fades away, Kayla's still gonna get one.
Correct.
Because that's Kayla. But for kids, it's like I need it. You know?
Yeah, that's what makes me mad. And then if we're talking about the trading community super fast, I'm not a Pokemon person, like in terms of like getting like the Pokemon cards and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But what pisses me off is these grown adults being like, I'm going to buy out a store and then open my own store and sell it double. And then you're like taking the opportunity from the kids who actually don't want it. For money purposes, they want it because it's shiny and it's cute and it makes me so angry. So I love following and donating money to there's this guy that he sells at conventions, but with the donations that he gets from like his TikTok and Instagram, he gives kids like really special, like rare cards. And nice. It's a really beautiful moment. Someone singing happy birthday outside in the rain. That's beautiful. okay. So yes, don't buy these and then steal the joy from children or adults like me that just want cute little guys in our house. It's mean.
I'm glad. Honestly, glad I asked because one of the students brought it to school one day and I was like, "What is this thing?" She's like, "Oh, it's like she obviously being a 10-year-old that has." Whose parents are in a crazy tax bracket. That's just like most of the kids in my school. They were just like, she said, oh, it's a Labubu. Like I knew what that was. And I was I was like, Halsey, come on now. Like, what are we doing?
Yes.
I'm glad I asked. Cause I was definitely intrigued for sure.
It's a great way to find a fellow weirdo in the wild. Like it's just my favorite thing. Like back in the day in like middle school and high school, I used to decorate my binder with anime things because then the other anime kids would be like, ah, there you are. We could be friends.
One of us
wearing this on my bag. Let other people know I am strange and they can talk to me about it. Cause I literally told Samuel the last thing. We went to the Ninja Sex Party concert in St. Pete, and we were in this line full of weirdos. And at one point, I just kind of like happily sighed, and I'm like, isn't this how nice we're surrounded by weirdos? And Sam's like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, it's all little weird kids together. Like, they're theater kids and band kids, and just like, I love them.
Yeah, kids that love playing video games. He's just like, it's
weird
it's
kids. And I'm like,
it's a nice community. For
yes,
sure.
It was so beautiful. Romanticize your life.
Romanticize your life. But if this episode tells you anything, if you get anything from this episode, it's to romanticize your life for sure. Y'all got anything else after that? Or y'all good?
Yo, diamonds look like pee-pee.
That's crazy. That man makes money off that line. Good for him, I guess.
And he's a great. He's a legend. Don't even.
I love that rapper. For him. I love him.
He announced to the world Drake had a son. Announced that Drake was a fraud.
The day that Drake fraud.
I love Pusha T.
Well, pee pee poo poo. That's our podcast.
Yep. I've been Nostalgia. Taylor, aka Nostalgia, Astle by Zoe. Killix everything. We'll see you guys next time. Peace.
Bye.